Hi everyone, my name is Brian Cardenas. I'm from the Spanish ministry from the church, and I grew up here from a young age, got even baptized here in 2012. And I'm just thankful for this opportunity to be able to preach to you from the book of Matthew, what God's been teaching me from it. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. So verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here, able to learn from what Jesus teaches us in this passage, and you can use me and allow me to bring your truth, present it here, that we can learn from it and apply it into our own lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This passage really is encouraging to read, because Jesus here is teaching us three lessons about the lost. In this passage, Jesus is preparing the 12. To be sent out later in Matthew 10 as teachers and be presenting the gospel out. And Jesus is going out to small cities, small towns, villages of Galilee. He's going around and encountering different kinds of Jews, people in difficult circumstances, people with different diseases. And he's going around and, like it says in verse 35, healing them, teaching them, and preaching. And Jesus goes around healing these people. But the Pharisees accuse him. And they accuse him of casting out the demons by the power of Satan. But Jesus here doesn't take when the Pharisees are accusing him, he doesn't stop what he's doing. If anything, he recognizes that any personal cost that he has to make, it's worth it. It's worth giving it for him to be able to go out and bring the gospel to be presented. And Jesus saw that when he looked at the multitudes, that these people were burdened. They were burdened by the practices, doctrines of the Pharisees. They were being guided without a real shepherd. And deep down, all these people were being scattered and lost due to sin. They didn't know the truth. They were lost. And he looks onto them and has compassion. He's moved by compassion by looking at them. And he goes and tells the disciples, pray with me. Like he does in verse 38. Pray the laborers will be sent out into this harvest. And so the first point that Jesus teaches us here is recognize the importance of the gospel. Jesus was preaching and teaching the gospel. And at the time, he did so, went to the synagogues in all these villages, because he knew people would be there. He knew that these people didn't know the truth and was going to these places where he knew many people are there. This is where I can present the gospel. This is where I can get to know these people. And he goes about and is healing people, but he does this for compassion, but he doesn't want to be known just as a miracle worker. He's going out to these people and he's healing, redirect them back to seeing that the gospel is the center. His preaching, teaching, and any healing. All those were bringing everything back to the gospel. He was presenting that you need the gospel. This is the truth that's needed. And Jesus is questioned and about his healing. And maybe sometimes we think, why didn't Jesus just go around and just heal everyone? Just to prove that, well, if you heal everyone, they'll just follow you. If you heal them from their disease, whatever they're going through. But Jesus is healing to give validation to his message that he's presenting. He wants the people who are seeing him to increase in their faith from this. And he's demonstrating onto them the compassion he has for them. His healing was meant to redirect back to the gospel. He didn't just go about and just heal everyone. He knew that these people needed the gospel to change them. So Jesus in his earthly ministry did that he knew what he was doing with that. The healing, the preaching, the teaching. And he does this to really grow the truth, presenting the gospel very clearly to these multitudes. Luke chapter 4, 18-19 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And here we see how Jesus is going about and showing the gospel to them. And when I was looking into this passage, I thought about the gospel, how I'm applying it to my own life. And as I was studying it, I was guided to Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. Where it says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" So Jesus is going around, looking at the multitudes, and presenting to them God's wonderful plan of salvation, showing them that God's establishment of the everlasting kingdom is coming. And we see here just how Jesus knows the importance of giving it to these people. Because he knows that the gospel is able to change the lives of these people. That these people, it goes deeper than just what they were facing. They were lost. They were fearful. They didn't know what was going on. The Pharisees, the rabbis, they were all trying to lead these people. But it was just like the blind leading the blind. They didn't know where they were going. They needed something deeper. Something that would change their hearts. And the gospel was being presented by Jesus to these people. And the disciples are there with him. And Jesus looks onto these people and sees that, you know, there's a lot of people who need to hear the gospel, but there aren't enough laborers to do so. And Jesus wants to show himself that he is the Savior and restorer of the human nature. And he sees that these people need this truth. And disciples are there watching and learning from him. And the Bible describes the gospel, sometimes as the power of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 shows this, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 describes the gospel as the power of God. And the gospel is not only powerful, but it's also where the power of God is and where it's doing its greatest work. And when we look at verse 38, the harvest is God's. God sees that that this harvest needs these laborers. But the only way is by obeying Him. Because souls are only won when we follow God, follow His truth, and follow where He's guiding us. And Jesus preaches the gospel looking at the multitude, mostly to people who are lost. But there are also those who are there who He's trying to remind some of these believers that the gospel must dwell in your heart. If the gospel isn't dwelling in your heart, then are you even living the gospel? And in Romans 9, Paul had a burden for the lost. He had a heart for them, and Paul wants to see these people experience the saving power of the gospel. Our joy comes from the gospel, but from that, we form a passion for the lost through the relationship we have with God. And that leads to us reflecting that in our prayer lives, reflecting that in how we interact with people outside the church, in our workplace, or wherever we are. And Jesus sees that these people need that instruction. Because like it says in verse 36, there's a sheep without a shepherd, sheep that can't get their food, are lost, and need that instruction. And He knew that the shepherd was needed to guide them, and that He was going to be that shepherd. And as I looked into these verses, it struck to me how it was key how Jesus was moved with compassion on them, all these people. And I asked myself, like, do I have the same compassion for the lost? Because God has compassion on all of us, on all our lives. When I was in children's church and Spanish church, I still remember the day that Mr. Q gave a lesson. He was the teacher at the time. And that was the day I accepted Christ as my Savior. And seeing just how I was later baptized, grew in my relationship with God, grew in understanding Him more and more, and my grandparents who brought me to church at such a young age, they did all this because they had compassion on me. But they knew that they first had, that Jesus, God, first gave compassion on them. And verse 30, chapter 9 in Matthew, Jesus is really just showing how this compassion is so important for us to have. Because without that compassion, then we really don't live our lives wanting to help those that are lost. And naturally, we are born as sinners. And naturally, we don't have that compassion for the lost. That compassion, we have to grow it. It needs to be developed. And we need to recognize the importance of presenting the gospel. The Lord here has so much compassion on all these people. People who are accusing Him. People who are jealous that he has these many followers. And he still has compassion on them, even though they despise him, they hate him. And we just see here just how we also have to learn from what he's telling the disciples. Pray. Pray about them. Because through prayer, God responds to our requests when we bring them up to him. And sometimes God may use us to answer our own requests. And Jesus leads them all together, disciples, to show how much prayer is important in this, from verse 37 to 38. Showing that prayer for the lost develops your heart, makes your heart have that compassion for them. Because naturally we're not. We just aren't going to have you. You aren't going to be born with just compassion. And although the compassion Jesus had on the multitudes was so great, we should follow that and follow how the prayer he gave to the disciples. And when I was reading this passage, it just shook me how much God uses even these disciples who all come from different backgrounds, uses them and gives them the gospel and tells them, I'm going to use you. I'm going to equip you and you're going to be able to present the gospel to those that are lost. And these people here in the multitudes are struggling with just not knowing where is hope. They need hope, and the Pharisees weren't providing it at all. If anything, they were guiding them more and more into darkness, just more scattered about, lost, and they were crying out for someone. And how Jesus replies here by having that compassion on them reflects the mercy of God that he has shown to these multitudes, but also on us. And it was great just reading how much God really has compassion on these lost people and reflecting, am I doing my part to be moved with compassion as well? When I pass by and see and a friend I know who doesn't know Jesus or doesn't know the gospel, do I make a step or an effort to even present to them or even tell them about the gospel? Because God has blessed us with relationships, blessed us in places in our workplace, family, friends. He's blessed us with those relationships, even with those that are lost. But do we take the step to give them the truth that's changed our lives? And here, Jesus is showing us how the prayer for the lost, praying for them, and recognizing that there is still a need for laborers out there. And I'm not saying you have to come and be a pastor, be a preacher, go out, be a missionary. You can present the gospel where God has placed you right now. You can live the gospel. But you have to recognize the importance of it and reflect honestly with yourself. Am I truly placing the gospel in my heart? Am I placing that before anything else? And when Jesus is telling these disciples, pray for the lost, it's showing later on when disciples go out how they've also grown a compassion for the lost people. And although they don't have the same level as Christ did on these multitudes, they're growing in that compassion because they know that their compassion has to grow. And the only way to do so is through praying for them, praying and praying for our heart to have that burden in it. And so sometimes we won't see the fruit from when we present the gospel to someone. When I was in downtown Greenville back at college, I went and was able to be part of an evangelism team. And we went out every Friday night sharing tracts or giving out sandwiches to start conversation to see what do other people think of Jesus, or do they even know the gospel or their path as well. And I remember one instance, one man, we interacted with him. He was leaving and he comes up to us and he tells, "All right, I know why you're here. Just give me your spiel." And for after hearing that, just from the get-go, I was already like, this isn't going to go anywhere. But my friend who's right next to me, he starts talking to him, asking him, "Hey, can we maybe talk about God, talk about the gospel?" And I really learned from just how he, after the conversation he had with the man, seeing that, you know, even though he knew that the guy was shutting him out, didn't want to listen, if he was able to just say the gospel to him, just present it, he was already planting a seed there. Although this man was pushing against us trying to talk with him about Jesus, trying to talk to him about God, just presenting the gospel there, and my friend did that, it left a seed in that man's head. And sometimes that us presenting the gospel, we won't see the fruit of that. We won't see the change that happens when someone hears it, but when we see it, they're just rejecting it. And that night, I left and I was thinking, all right, we got rejected from him. It's not going to go anywhere. But my friend reminded me that, no, we have to keep sharing to these lost people. Because even though we may face rejection, like Jesus is telling us here, pray for them. Pray for more laborers out there. Because it's so important for us to pray for them. Because the compassion that Jesus had on them shows how we have been shown that compassion. So why shouldn't others be shown that as well? And that night, I asked myself, am I moved with compassion? And I prayed and prayed, and slowly God was able to help me realize, you know, even though I don't need to see these people's lives change in front of me, I know they've heard the truth, and God is the one who's going to work in them. He's the one that brings the change. I'm only the deliverer. And this passage, going back to it, when it says that these people were just scattered, sheep without a shepherd, just reminds me how we all used to be like that as well. And remembering when I was saved too. Because before I knew Christ as my Savior, I was like these people. I was lost. I didn't know any better. I was living a life with no goals, fearful of death, not knowing where I was heading, and just slowly letting sin destroy my life. But Jesus is showing here how much we need to recognize that even though we have the gospel now and how much it's changed us, we must go out and share it to others. Because there's so many people in this world that still don't know the truth, either through just not having a translation of the Bible in their own language, people who just have never even gone to a church or may have a bad history with the church. And we have to pray for them. And sometimes God is going to use you to answer that prayer. And when I went to Utah this summer, I went out there and I was praying to God, please show me how I can have opportunity to share the gospel to the lost. Show these kids, these parents as well, the life-changing truth that Jesus has, and have that compassion towards them. And I was talking with the pastor down there at Westside Baptist Church, and he told me how it was interesting to see that there are parents who go to the camp that I was helping at, go there every year, hear the presentation of the gospel, but nothing comes out of it. And although he said sometimes it's discouraging, he says, if anything, it made him want to just keep going. Because he saw that, you know, although we won't see the fruit, that just planting the seed, that's the most important part. And from that trip, it was just interesting to see just how much compassion he had on them. Because he knew a lot of these kids in the area I was in were all mostly Mormon. And usually they are very against just taking kids to like a sports camp. But there we were presenting the gospel and some of these kids even got saved. And our actions that for us even helping at sports camp, that was all driven for having compassion on the lost. Having compassion for these kids, because at one point we were in their shoes too, of the lost. And when I was reading these verses and saw how the gospel has so much importance in Jesus' earthly ministry, because he came and showing these people, you know, and if you take out anything, believe in the gospel. Believe in that. And his disciples learned that from Jesus. And we are learning from this passage that through prayer, through having a good relationship with God, God can stir our hearts, stir us, change us, renew our minds, and he prepares us to be workers for him. Because the Holy Spirit sends out the workers, and we are the ones that reply to that. And Jesus still needs people for the harvest. And the harvest is still in need of laborers. And I ask you, do you still remember when you got saved? Do you remember the compassion that someone had on you? Being able to share how Christ died for you and how he forgave all your sins if you accept and believe him. And reading, or my bad, and seeing this passage and just how it ends in verse 38 just emphasizes more, am I really living my life for presenting the gospel to others? Am I taking this truth that I have now that's changed me and presenting it? Because sometimes we're going to struggle and not have compassion. Because we naturally just can't have that compassion. But Christ shows us that through prayer, He's going to equip us. He gets us ready to reply if He is calling us. And Jesus really does show us three lessons of understanding. Number one, recognize the importance of the gospel. Number two, do I have compassion as God did on me? Number three, showing that through prayer we gain compassion for the lost. Because naturally, if we pray for the lost, we're going to be stirred up and be having joy to be able to go out and share the gospel to these people. And I know for me, at first, sharing the gospel was scary. I thought it would end well, that I knew people weren't going to listen to me, but be persistent. Persistent in sharing the gospel. You're going to face rejection. You're going to face people who are going to accuse you. But did that stop Jesus when the Pharisees accused him? He kept going. And that reminds me that although I'm going to face rejection when I present the gospel, I have to keep going. Because there's so many people who still haven't heard it. And having that compassion that Jesus had, I want to grow and grow to have similar compassion that Jesus had on them. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to see the truth that you present here. How you, through Jesus, were able to present the gospel and was able to see that these people needed to hear that there was a plan of salvation. There is a way to live. And thank you for how you show us through Jesus telling the disciples, pray for them. And through that, you gain compassion for them. Father, just thank you for how you've allowed us to be changed through your word and see how you've had compassion on us through someone else. And I pray that you allow us here all to be used similarly to live the gospel out and also share it to those. Father, I pray that you allow us, maybe this upcoming week, that we can, if an opportunity opens up, that we can share the gospel to one person, that we can share it to them. Maybe there's someone that comes to mind, and that we can show them the truth that's changed our lives. And it's changed us and given us a new identity, a new purpose. Thank you for showing us through this passage how Jesus is telling us to grow in compassion for the lost and how to do so. And I just pray that we can reflect that on ourselves in our own prayer life and are able to walk out and share it, live the gospel for you, and all the glory goes towards you and be testimonies, godly testimonies of your message, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together. I appreciate Brother Brian bringing the Word of God to us tonight.